This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Perhaps you have been thinking about the effects of hip muscle strengthening on pain while female athletes are running who are experiencing patellofemoral pain. I'll bet that's the top of everyone's list today. I hope it is. That may be why you tuned in, because it is our topic. And joining me today is Dr. Tracy Dirks, who is the assistant professor at the Department of Physical Therapy at Indiana University, also the director of Motion Analysis Research Lab at Indiana University Health. Actually, you've got two labs there, right, Doctor?
That's right, yeah.
So welcome to our show, first of all. Now, let's get all this laboratory stuff straightened out. You are the director of the Motion Analysis Research Lab. That's the first place, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Now, you also are working in another facility called the IU Health Robotics Rehabilitation Center at Riley Hospital.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so you're a busy guy.
Yes.
And and on top of that, you're doing research, and you've got a case study going. So, again, we want to welcome you to our show, and thank you for taking your time to share with our listeners what you have found regarding this, the condition of PFP and how that relates to female runners. So can you give us a quick rundown on what you found?
Sure. Yeah, it's my pleasure. We really kind of started looking at this knee pain problem, which really is the biggest. It's the most common injury that runners will get is around the knee here, called patellofemoral pain. So what we've kind of seen in the past with some of our work is that there really appears to be a weakness in the hip. So a lot of the muscles around the hip and so on really seems to be kind of common in runners with this type of pain.
Was that obvious to everyone, or is that one of the things you have found out?
Yeah, no, it's always sort of been thought as one possible mechanism. The problem with this type of pain is that it's kind of multifactorial. So there's a lot of things that can really be causing it. So you can look down at the foot and work your way up to the knee, but you can also look at the hip and kind of work your way down to the knee. And so recently we've just been finding this consistent theme of weak muscles in the hip. So that's kind of what led us to the idea, or at least led me to the idea of developing this intervention to try to fix the hip muscle weakness and see if that's going to fix the problem itself.
Okay. All right. So you have identified then that there is a weakness in the hip muscles?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so so what are you going to do with that information?
Right. So what we did here was, in this particular study at least, we had all females. They're twice as likely to have this knee pain problem. So what we did is we did a six-week intervention where we really just focused on certain exercises to strengthen the hip muscles. And we gave there wasn't any gait retraining involved. That's kind of been a hot topic lately. We didn't do any of that. We just strictly said, do this six-week program at home, very simple. Here's some stuff to do it. And that's basically all they did, and they continued their normal running routine.
Okay. Now, we need to kind of tell all of our listeners, your study has not been published yet. This conversation is really about your observations and what you found so far. But you did present at the American College of Sports Medicine recently. A couple months ago or a few weeks ago?
Yeah, June 5th, roughly.
June 5th,
yeah,
okay.
First week of June.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then you've also got, a case study or something going that you have also presented somewhere?
Yeah, we did a case study on the very first person as well, because we did an 18-month follow-up on them. We wanted to see how this was going to be after they stopped the program and continued on their own.
Yeah.
And about a week after the ACSM abstract, we also presented this abstract at American and Physical Therapy Association's annual conference in Boston.
Oh, okay, the APTA. There. All right, great. Exactly. Many of our listeners were there. So.
Yeah, they may have seen it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, very good. We've got your basic premise here, and what kind of things did you find? What kind of observations have you been able to make?
Right. So what we did here is we had two groups. There's about five runners in each group. All of them had this patellofemoral pain, and they all did the six-week program, but we started some of them right away on the program. And then the other group, they had they went through sort of a control period where they really didn't do anything except continue their normal running program, and we just gave them a journal to record their information and do some stretches and stuff. And then after they did 6 weeks of a control period, then they hopped in and did the 6 weeks of the intervention. Hmm. So all of them went through it eventually. And what we found was essentially that once they all went through the intervention, that all of them were running essentially without any onset of pain at the end of the program. So at the start of the program, they were all running to the point where their knees were so painful that they had to stop running, and that was a common running session for them. Mm-hmm. So those that went through the control group, they didn't get any better. They actually got a little worse, some of them. They couldn't run quite as long as they did even 6 weeks before that. But then once they all did the intervention, pain, the onset of pain pretty much disappeared.
Okay. So do you think any of this work could be that a therapist or someone listening could relate this to their patient in the clinic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this study was designed to essentially once we publish it, or however you want to say that it's ready, go ahead and do it in the clinic. I mean, there's nothing really to interpret or try out. It's there. It's laid out for you. Mm-hmm. So it's meant to be directly translational.
Okay. So what are some of the things then that you had these runners do, and can mm-hmm. can our listeners do that now?
Yeah, we really focused on, of course, strengthening the hips. So we had four exercises with using TheraBand or some kind of resistance band. And so we were doing basically, you know, flexion, extension, all planes of motion. And then the other exercise we wanted to do a little more functional, kind of like a return to function type. So we did a single leg squat exercise as well.
Okay.
But really the kind of one of the keys on it wasn't so much that were they strengthening, getting stronger in terms of moving up in color on the band or doing a deeper knee bend on the single leg squat. We're really concerned about stability and maintaining control of the pelvis during these activities.
Okay. And what would be the reason for that? Why was that important to you?
Because the it's kind of meant to mimic the stance phase in running. So when that foot is on the ground and they go through a lot of hip flexion, knee flexion, so on and so on, if the hip and core isn't strong and kind of held, then that really leads to a lot of poor mechanics, you could say. So we wanted to really make sure they had control of those areas to keep the pelvis from dropping or the femur from sliding in and rotating in and things like that. All the mechanisms that would produce this patellofemoral pain.
Okay. Now, based on what you now know, is this only applicable to runners, or do you see any possibility that some of your work could be used to help patients that are in your typical, say, orthopedic physical therapy practice who are not high-level athletes?
Right, great question. Of course, all I can really speak directly on is how it applies to female recreational runners right now. Of course, what we want to do is expand and go to males as well. And then there's a lot of similar, there's a lot of syndromes or injuries that are similar to patellofemoral pain, and it'll probably apply to them as well. But, you know, I can't really say with certainty that go on and do it for these other problems too. But it is very likely. I mean, I think the hip and the core, it's just, there's a lot of thought that it's just very important to have a strong hip and core.
Mm-hmm. And how big a problem is this? Do you have any stats or any idea on that?
Yeah, so in terms of patellofemoral pain itself, mm-hmm. Generally it's probably about one-fifth of all running-related injuries.
Okay.
So 20%.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's almost always the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what can you tell us a little bit about your case study, and then do you have any time frame for publishing?
Yeah. So the case study, as I mentioned, it's just one person. We did the six-week program, but then we followed her for another 12 weeks. And what we did there was we let her keep kind of building up or progressing in the program itself, but she did it all on her own. And then she dropped off the last 6 weeks to really just once per week, roughly, more of a maintenance type of prescription. And she, when she came back after the 18 weeks, we found her knee pain was completely gone. I mean, there was no trace at all. She ran for 45 minutes. So really, I think what was most encouraging about that, what we liked so much about that, was that she was able to drop down the intensity and really just do maintenance after 6 weeks, and she continued to see improvements to the point where her knee pain was completely gone.
Yeah. Now, in training rooms across the country, there are trainers who are treating the same condition in their athletes, and they're using iontophoresis and ultrasound and, cold and heat and exercise and all those other things.
Right.
Do you know, are you going to be able to compare, just something as what sounds simple as strengthening the hip to all these other things that are done, and how, are you more successful, less successful? How do we compare that data?
Yeah, it's a good thought. I mean, those types of modalities, of course, have been around and used for quite some time. And they, I don't want to say that this is better than them or they're better than this
of
thing, because it really just depends on your patient. But, I mean, it's very encouraging if you can really just kind of prescribe a home-based exercise program, relatively low intensity, and not have to worry about applying the modalities and things like that. I mean, I think that would be very advantageous if that's the case, especially from a prevention standpoint down the road.
That's what I was just thinking, I mean, maybe you can just prevent the whole darn thing to begin with.
Yeah, exactly, right.
All right, great. And then any word on when we might see your name in lights in print?
Yeah, so the case study we're working on for publication right now, it'll be a few months probably, hopefully by the end of the fall at the latest, depending on how many revisions it needs to go through.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so hopefully that's kind of the timeline there, is the next few months.
And which journal? Do you have a journal that has shown interest in it yet?
We are targeting Journal of Sport and Physical Therapy, so
okay.
JOSPT.
Yeah. Okay, great. Perfect.
Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy.
We have a lot of listeners who will be very familiar with that journal. So
yes.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
That's great. And then hopefully you'll let us know when it is published, and we can then talk in a little bit more detail about your conclusions instead of just observations.
Right.
All right.
That's the goal.
Okay, Dr. Dirks, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today on PT Talker, and we want to wish you all the best in your future research projects.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, should anyone have a question for Dr. Dirks, please feel free to send me an email at feedback@PTTalker, and I'll be happy to forward that on. And should we get word that the research that we've been discussing today has been published, we'll be happy to post that as well. So keep it tuned right here to PT Talker as you do each and every week. And we are thankful that you listen and tell all your friends that this is the place to come for physical therapy expertise each and every week. And I'm Jeff Worrell saying, well, let's go make someone better today.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.